We're holding in Hey Nisan, Siman Kuf Tes Vav Halacha Dalet. We're going to Siman Kuf Tes Zayin Halacha Dalet. Okay, so really we already started discussing this halacha when it comes to our Pesach Chalas B'Shabbes. So we wake up early, we daven early in order to be able to eat and make sure that we finish eating the chametz on time. And as we mentioned, it's proper to try to divide the Suda, the meal, into two by making an interruption in between a half an hour, taking a nice stroll, a walk. And in order to fulfill both the obligation of the morning meal, the Seudas Shachris, and then also the Shalash Shiddus, since you can't do it after the fourth hour, meaning after the end of the fourth hour, you have to finish really all the chametz. We already mentioned, Mishabur says that preferably you should also have what's called fish and meat and fruits a little bit later after Mincha time, in order to fulfill those opinions who say that you can't fulfill Shalash Shiddus before Mincha time. But mainly we said also is that a person should be very careful not to fill themselves up and then end up not being able to eat the matzah and all the mitzvahs of the night. So that's definitely crucial. So you have to know yourself. When it comes to Erev Pesach Chalas B'Shabbes, it discusses the Haftarah. It's a beautiful Haftarah. It speaks about bringing the Maaser to the Beis HaYisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash. And really what it's referring to is referring to the Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, all the different Maasers throughout the cycle of the seven-year cycle. Maaser Rishon and both Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, first, second year, and the fourth and the fifth year is Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. And the third and the sixth year, there's a change between Maaser Sheni to Maaser Ani. So if you live in Israel, you know this cold, hopefully. If you don't live in Israel, we should know it's cold. In any case, there's also a concept called Bi'ul Maisos. Bi'ul Maisos basically means that Erev Pesach, that's the reason why we're reading this Haftarah. It speaks about bringing your Maisos to the Beis HaMikdash. And if you waited until the fourth year, Erev Pesach, you do what's called the Bi'ul Maisos, and you declare it, you make sure any Maisos that you have, you're going to have to consume. It's called Bi'ul Maisos. You have to make sure it's getting rid of out of your house. And it's done also on the Erev Pesach of the seventh year. Point is, since the timing is Erev Pesach, it's appropriate to read this Haftarah. The custom, I think by most, not everyone, but the Bush discusses already that the custom is that every Shabbos before Pesach, and hence this coming Shabbos. And the reason for another reason that the Bush says is because it ends with the declaration of the redemption and fits very well, especially this year, because Shabbos this year is Yud Nisan, which is the beginning of when they were leaving Mitzrayim, when starting with the taking of the Korban Pesach. Okay, when it comes to Erev Shabbos of this year, always you have to make sure and ask, especially if you're at home and your wife is being mafresh challah. And they usually they remember, but nevertheless, it's halacha to remind them that to ask did they separate challah here especially, because since if you didn't mafresh challah, usually if you forgot to mafresh challah, separating the dough from the separating some dough as challah, if you didn't do it usually in chutzlaretz. The halacha is that you can leave over some of your challah and then burn it Shabbos. That option obviously is not viable. And therefore, it's very difficult in halacha what to do. In fact, the kids have mentioned already one of the shittos of the Magen Avraham to give it, you're going to have to give your challahs, your actually loaves of bread to a non-Jew, borrow from him. And this way, it won't have a chiyuv of hashas challah. Somehow, it gets around the problem. All these different possibilities are not so great, and therefore, that's what the kitzur says. Please make sure that you separated challah from your challahs. Okay, we're starting Siman Kuf Tes Zayin, the laws of Hagala. Let's try to do a quick review. The Hagala means purging, using boiling water. There's a concept in halacha when it comes to kashering your utensils. It's interesting that today it's really preferable, especially if someone could afford it, to just have utensils for Pesach. I see all the time when it comes to kashering, it's not simple and it's got much more complicated throughout the years. So of course we try to know, to figure out based on what we know, based on halacha. But there's a lot of, I would call it mystery, of what works, what doesn't work, how to deal with what's called glass stove tops and everything else. So when there's a person that has an option to not need what's called a kashering, and let's say utensils that are used with really a lot of chametz, direct chametz, and it gets stuck. And so in hotels and stuff like that, and in nursing homes and in different areas, if you've experienced what it means to kasher, you understand why it's best to have utensil, Pesach utensils. But nevertheless, we got to try to figure out and understand. So there's three concepts mainly we need to know. There's Hagala, which is purging using boiling water. There is what's called Libun Kal, is where you get something to the heat that around 500 degrees, that if you would put kash, if you would put straw or let's say a tissue, it would singe it, it would burn it up. And lastly, Libun Chamul, which is real fire, it preferably reaches around 800 degrees. So once we understand that, we could apply the different types of utensil based on what they were used for. If they were used with cooking with hot with liquid, so that's Hagala, that's purging. Getting out the taste of the chametz from using boiling water. And sometimes we pour water, boiling water, if it was something that wasn't used directly in a kli rishon. When it comes to libun kal, that definitely accomplishes something that needs purging but can't be purged, or something that was used with heat, as we'll discuss, the different stove, the burners, the stove tops, and the like, where the food is not going directly on the metal itself. And lastly, is libun chabu, is something that, like a grill, where you must use coals. Today, they have what's called instant light coals. That's probably one of the best things to use, but you definitely have to be careful, because then you really need to use fire, and using a blowtorch by yourself can cause a lot of damage. So you have to make sure you have someone that's really professional and not do any chumras extras without asking and looking up. Today, I'll know you, and so they have videos and everything. You should look them up before you do anything. Okay, so here we go. So Hagalah, as we said, the kids already discusses a kli cheres. Kli cheres is one of those utensils that cannot be kashered. And the Gemara explains because the taste will never be purged out. Interesting, the Piskei Tshuvos brings down different types of earthenware that we have today in porcelain, that if you're really, really stuck, there's ways of doing it by three different Hagalahs if it was used as a kli sheni, meaning utensils like bowls and stuff like that. An actual utensil that's used on a kli rishon, meaning as on the fire, and then his earthenware cannot be kashered. So whether it's Hagala Liban doesn't work. When it comes to ovens, and you know, especially the old day ovens, and people still have these ovens like pizza ovens, etc. So since these things, they're stone, but you're not worried to throw in coals and really bring it up to the highest heat, therefore you could kasher it through Libun Chamol, Libun Gomel. And the same applies to our ovens today. Our ovens today are much better because you're not putting the food directly on the actual metal. We usually, if someone has a self-clean, that's basically the best. But even without self-clean, a regular oven that you clean and use some cleanser and then you heat it up for an hour, usually that covers and takes care of everything. And that applies also to the actual stove tops, the grates themselves. You turn them on at high, so to be careful. Sometimes people follow the old instructions of putting some type of blech on top of it and to spread the fire. The problem is that could really cause a major fire. So you have to be so careful not to do that. And best, some what people do is they also line up the stovetops, the parts below the stovetops themselves, the grates, below the grates, with tinfoil and stuff like that, which they also have to be careful not to block anything. But when you do it properly, it actually covers everything. The Moshe held that basically you turn them on for about 20 minutes today. I think the place can say to do for 40 minutes on high, and usually that will kosher these stovetop grates. As another thing the kitzur discusses is that using what's called a tashel barzel, using a metal sheet and different things to place pots in an area where they used it for chametz. This applies today, especially when it comes to people that have the glass stovetops, because there's a big question, how do you kasher glass? Glass is a dispute. For Sephardim, it's much easier. When it comes to Ashkenazim, it's more strict. So therefore, the best thing is to have these types of tiles that you put onto the glass stovetops in order to make sure that there's like something in between the pot, and this way you can end up, you're able to use your glass stovetops. When it comes to utensils made of wood and metal, and that includes aluminum, stoneware, boneware, any of these types of materials, you could do Hagala. If it's something that gets ruined in boiling water, that's a major problem. And Kitzur actually discusses one of these cases. He discusses, it's called utensils that are glued together with an adhesive of lime. So this might be a weaken in the boiling water, and therefore the person won't be able to do so. You won't be able to do Hagala. It's also a big discussion which the Achronim discuss when it comes to materials that the Kitzur doesn't discuss, for example, rubber, when plastic, all these things. So Moshe was not so happy with this. The Rav Henkin was making with it, the other person, Tzitz Eliezer, was making with plastic. So you have to ask a Shaila when it comes to, there are times you could kosher plastic too. And this also very much applies to the types of different types of dishwashers. Now, when it comes to knives that have what's called a kata, which a lot of different utensils that we have are made of two parts. There's a handle that's glued, the type, some type of adhesive, etc. That could be a big shiloh because you won't be able to do agala, you're too scared to ruin it, or there's cracks. So let's discuss two things. Number one, when you're doing agala, the Kitzur reminds us you have to get rid of any rust. Any mamashus, that means any something that's physical, the hagala won't work unless it's very clean. That's why it's sometimes challenging. If it's just a little bit of a stain, that's not a problem. We're talking about when you can feel there's something still there. Another challenge is when you have gumos. Gumos are like indentations, holes, cracks. So it's difficult to kosher, and many times you need to use like a blowtorch or something in order to make sure that, or put it in an oven and do what's called libun kal. Because putting in an oven, something that you need to do purging will work. As we said, you put it in for an hour. You just have to make sure that those utensils are not going to get ruined. This is also one of the reasons why the Kitzur says the custom is to get new knives for Pesach because of this challenge. And as we mentioned, when it comes to libun chamul, in order to kasher libun chamul, something that was used directly with fire, like a grill, etc., you need to heat it up to a heat that you see sparks flying. Now, this is also an interesting concept because certain metals today, iron metals, you won't see sparks. You'll just destroy the actual utensil. So you have to know what you're doing. Technically speaking, if you're able to know that you're reaching a heat, that's why I saw one of the methods of kashering, let's say, utensils that we use directly with chametz is using these instant light coals. The reason why you'd use these instant because they're already soaked and treated and the fire will stay on. Otherwise, you have a long time if you just use regular coals. I've seen people do that and it's challenging. And the last thing the Kitzur discusses is a baker's wooden shovel. You know, they use they use to take out things out of the oven. If it's wood, it's a problem. You'll never be never able to kosher it. Today, most of them are made of metal and therefore it's halachically easy to kosher. Have a beautiful day.